Hello, this is the podcast for our class today, which was class number 6, and today is the 13th of September. So we started a whole new section on duty, the element of duty, which precedes breach. We started talking about breach just because we want people new to the negligence concept and new to tort to think about reasonable care. But always, we don't get to the question of reasonable care or breach until we've established duty. And duty is really a very important threshold. So don't get yourself mixed up. There was a lot of uncertainty in class today, and that's normal about, well, but was it, you know, should they have done that or was it reasonable care to do that? You have to establish duty first. You don't even start talking about breach or the facts involved in breach until you've established that there was a duty of care. So you've got to make sure that you really have it clear between, did they behave reasonably or did they have any occasion to look at their behavior at all? So duty of care is our threshold question, and it's a tough one. Unless you're doing something, unless in your conduct you are always held to a duty in your conduct, so that you're driving, you're operating heavy machinery, you're operating a train, you're operating a factory, you're held to a duty of reasonable care. Everything else, though, is an affirmative duty, and there are very specific situations whether those affirmative duties attach. So we looked, we started with the Harper v. Herman, and that's an important case, the distinction there. Very borderline. We had somebody who was a passenger on a person's boat and jumped in the water, shallow water, injured themselves. The boat driver knew he was going to jump in the water. Question, did he have a duty to warn him? And that's all we're looking at is, was there an affirmative duty to do something to prevent this injury? Because it's clear that the boat owner could have prevented the injury. Without the duty, though, it's a should have question. But not a reasonable care question. It comes before reasonable care entirely. So make sure you have that distinction. I listed 4 ways to establish an affirmative duty special relationship, lots of old-fashioned special relationships, but they can be, there's other ways to establish a special relationship too. Non-negligent creation of risk, non-negligent creation of injury, and voluntary assumption of that duty. Voluntary assumption is a very important, very tricky way of establishing a duty of care. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next class. But make sure you're clear. Unless you've got one of these ways of establishing an affirmative duty, you're not going to be even getting to the question of breach. It's a threshold question. And when we go further on in the reading, we'll see some ways that even if you have these things exist, there are ways that the court will determine that you still didn't have a duty. So duty is probably the most important area that we discuss when we're talking about negligence. When we look at proximate cause, you'll see very much it overlaps with duty. They're both questions of law. They're both decided by the court. Proximate cause gets into much more of a factual examination, but there's still ways to limit liability. We limit liability by saying there's no duty. Doesn't even get you to the jury. If we determine there's a jury, then they can still find no negligence on the breach question. But duty is really a policy question of law. We don't put affirmative duties or duties of care on everyone for everyone. We just, that's a matter of policy for our particular brand of U.S. personal injury law, that we are not infringing upon people's liberties by making them have responsibility for the care of others. There may be other reasons why we might want to invoke a responsibility, but not through tort liability. So when you're looking over, and we did these hypotheticals, you know, make sure you understand how we got to the end of the road in those four hypotheticals we did. One and four are really questions of duty. Two and three, much more of the reasonable care when you're in your conduct. So remember, we've got, you know, real differences going on. Next class, so, you know, there, just be confident of why we're doing this now. And I, as I said, this is a very big departure from our previous thought classes, where we solely looked at breach, solely looked at reasonable behavior, where duty was a given. Now we're putting aside the question of reasonable care. Doesn't mean that it's always going to be established once there's a duty, but it is secondary at this point to the question of duty. Duty of care is going to take us through probably the next eight classes. And, of course, even if there's a duty, your next question is breach. But first, all we're doing right now is trying to establish duty. So the next class we're going to start with is the next case, I mean, is Farwell v. Keaton. Read this case carefully. At the end of the decision, they decided that there was a duty of care. What basis was that duty? What basis does the court decide to create an affirmative duty on the part of one friend to the other? You have to understand that. Why is this case different from the case of Ronald M. v. White over on page 144? And then read the Moak case on page 146, note 8. Where does this fit in with all of the things that we've been talking about? So again, stay your 30 pages ahead. We're going to start with Farwell v. Keaton and then move through the remainder of cases, always thinking, when does a duty of care attach and why has it attached? Which one or two or more of the four elements, reasons of attaching a duty, apply in these cases?